Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Football season is in full swing, and we are glued to the gridiron each and every weekend. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface and even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Going on, y'all. Welcome to another episode of Believe in Kentucky. My name is Vinny Hardy. Y'all be sure to check the podcast out on Believe.com. Anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all those places. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. We are talking 6-0 Kentucky, season halfway over, facing the Georgia Bulldogs for, you know, first place in the SEC East. And we're going to get in the trenches today with a former Cat from Northern Kentucky. We got that Walton Verona flavor in here. We're talking about Cole Mosier in here on the podcast. Man, how you doing, Cole?
Good to be alive. It's a good day out here. Kentucky 6-0. We're a high school team's doing well, so that's a good time.
Yeah, Walton Verona, you said you're O-line coach and OC up there, right?
Yep. Our head coach calls the plays, but I contribute, and I'm up in the booth for actually most of the games, so – okay. Calling down my wisdom from the high in the sky.
There you go. Well, I'm gonna ask you this. I had Trevard Lindley on a couple weeks ago. He played corner for the Cats under Rich Brooks, and he's over at Bourbon County, you know, coaching and doing all that. I'm gonna ask you the same thing I asked him, because, you know, coming in and playing in the SEC, playing at a high level, you get all this knowledge, you learn so much more. And he went and played with the Eagles for a little bit as well. When you go back and coach high schools, in his case, young DBs, in your case, young O-linemen, how much of what you know are you able to give them? Or is there a balance, a fine line you have to walk where you don't give them too much? How do you approach that?
You definitely don't want to overload them with information. Obviously, in college, you learn a bunch about the game, little techniques, footwork, things like that, that you just didn't try to steal the basics on them. You try to give them some knowledge that might not necessarily be for every high school kid, but you give them knowledge of the basics and make sure they understand the concepts about it. Cause you gotta dumb it down a little bit for them, obviously. But the O-line I have are mostly seniors now. They've been here since I started coaching back when they're sophomore, and they're pretty good right now. And just getting them to grasp the concept and wanting to be better and be physical. That's the key.
That's cool. That's good stuff. So, are there some young Cole Mosiers that we need to keep our eye on?
As of right now, no. Up here, there a lot of the guys are – we're a smaller football team, so we don't get a lot of the bigger athletes that are 300 pounds, 6'5", and things like that. We get a bunch of the – we get about the 200 to 215-pound linemen that are decent size and that have to play with great technique in order to do their job.
I got you. And you said the playoffs are coming up too, so definitely wish y'all the best in that postseason for Walton and Verona.
I appreciate it. We'll need it.
6-0 for the Cats, man. Just your thoughts on everything you've seen so far this season. Just whatever you want to hit on, wherever you want to go. How you feeling?
The transformation of Kentucky football since I got there, Stoops' first year with Stoops Troops and everything that went on then, it's crazy seeing them now. And we always knew that we had the potential. It was just always getting over that hump. That hump was always there, like close games, and we'd lose them back then. And just changing it to where we're winning those games and dominating in those games now is the biggest change I see. It's just the culture, and it's expected now. Back then, it was it kind of had to be instilled on us, and some of the guys that came or that were there previously with Joker's guys. Just some of them didn't buy him, but most of them did. And just changing the culture was a great process. And you're seeing the outcome of it now, just all those grind years before. And I love what I'm seeing now. I'm big physical, defense playing well, offense playing well. You can't ask for much more than that.
That's true. That's true.
If it happens again, I'll.
Yeah. So, yeah, 6-0. And look, you were there. From starting in 2013, so you were there for some of the 5-win seasons where they didn't quite get to a bowl game, and then you get to the end of your career and you're blocking for Benny and Boom and 2,000 yard backs in the same backfield. So just talk about the career arc and your journey while you were there for UK.
That first year when we went 2-10, it was tough because we were getting some of the guys in and just buying them, getting both the offensive system, defensive system down. Takes a little to adjust. And those couple of those 5-win seasons were just we were close. I mean, we were just not getting over the hump in a lot of those games, and we were playing close games. I think in 2014 or 15 is where we came up here and played Mississippi State, played up here when they had Dak Prescott, and we went within a touchdown of them. They're number one team in the country. So it was more of the concept of us just trying to buy in and believe and just do everything right, not try to be superheroes out there. Everybody do their job. That's the biggest thing, is just do their job, and you got to trust your teammates to make the plays around it. And after that, once you start doing that, you can go out there and beat anybody.
That's it. I heard a little bit of Kenneth Horsey. He was on KSR today and, talking about, the kind of the chip on his shoulder as a Florida guy. He didn't get the Florida offer and how he is to be up here at Kentucky. You're a Kentucky kid playing for Kentucky. And Horsey also talked about the impact, when we all miss Coach Schlarman, but the impact and how he thinks about him every day. You're a Northern Kentucky guy just like Coach Schlarman. So just what did he mean to you and the fact that you got to know him in the recruiting process and then playing for Kentucky your whole career?
He meant a great deal to me personally. Because coming out of high school, I went to a small school. I tore my ACL my sophomore year going to my junior year. So that's a big year for recruiting and things like that. And so it was hard coming out. I had a bunch of small school offers like Georgetown, Lindsey Wilson, place around here. EKU ended up pulling out their offer. And then Miami of Ohio pulled their offer on me. So my coach actually played with Coach Schlarman in high school. So he was a sophomore when Coach Schlarman was a senior. And so he got a hold of him as soon as they came in. And he was just like, man, we got this guy that's 6'6", 320 pounds. He was under recruited. We still run a wing T style offense. So we run the ball. He was just like, I got a guy for you up here to come take a look at. Coach Schlarman was up here the next day. He was up there and he was talking in the room. He's like, man, you have the size and the ability. I've watched your film, everything, going through everything. I think you have the potential to be a star out there. He's just like, you just got to go through and you got to prove it and you got to go through the steps and make sure you're doing everything right, paying attention, things like that. And they end up giving me he's like, we don't have any scholarships for you right now, but preferred walk on. He's like, you'll be treated the same as any of the other guys out there. He's just like, you just got to prove it a little more. And I liked having to prove it a little more because it gave me a little bit more of a chip and just knowing that I'm actually having to go out there and earn it. And then by my sophomore year, I ended up earning a scholarship. And Coach Schlarman, just along the way, he was great because he kind of took me in under like a son to him. He was always just kind of like always playfully messing with me and always pretty hard on me, just making sure he saw the potential in me. And he meant a lot to me for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And it's good to see him still honoring him. We stood the big mural on the outside of Kroger Field. Yep. We see the guys wearing the 65, you know, kind of rotating it around the O-line each and every week. So he's never going to be forgotten.
Yeah, he's great. He was a big part of the O-line and how they am and instilled the nastiness and everything else. I mean, he's a great teacher of the game for sure.
Yeah. And just the reputation of the Big Blue Wall, you have 3 or 4 years ago, you played Alabama, SEC West team. You don't play often, but Jonathan Allen, who's a NFL pick, says this is the most physical O-line. They hit us harder than anybody. You have him saying that a few years back. You have, and we'll talk a little bit of Georgia, of course, as we get on through this. Kirby Smart in his press conferences this week plays you every year. Talks about Kentucky's the hardest hitting team, the most physical team we play year in and year out. So the league knows. The reputation is conference wide now. You played a role in that group, that room becoming what it is. Was that Coach Schlarm on you guys? Was it recruiting? Is it developing? Where does it come from to where you guys are consistently out more physical than any other O-line in the league?
A lot of it did come from Coach Schlarm because, I mean, just going out there and the way he coached and the way he was with us and made us a family in there. And you just could not go out there and play as hard as you wanted for that guy because of all the things he sacrificed and all the things he did for us. But just we just knew the attitude had to change around there. You know, we were the laughingstock of the SEC before, and we need to go out there and dominate teams as far – we need to do our jobs and be able to, hey, if we can't do anything on defense or we can't move the ball on offense, we just got to run the ball. We got to trust in running the ball, and we can go out there and beat anybody if we play with good technique, good form, and anything else. We go out there and we'll dominate anybody. I think that was just expected. So I think our guys just kind of bought into what he was saying, and it all went up from there for sure.
And then I guess was it kind of a ripple effect when you saw what he was saying worked? Then I guess that just reinforced the buy-in. So it was just kind of a full circle kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah, it was for sure. It just once you saw one guy doing it, and a lot of those guys, when we came in as his first class, it was just like, you want to get on the field, you show your physical, you show you can do your job and your assignment and play together. And then that was – everybody was competing for spots. I mean, he was rotating offensive linemen in every two series back then. And it just really – it stepped up everybody's competition just level, just knowing that hey, if you don't get the job done this series, you're going to be out in that series. And you got to show what you can do those snaps and make sure that you're dominant out there.
Man. And that's the thing. You know, D-lines rotate all the time. O-lines usually don't. And here you guys were – if you want to stay out there –
Yeah,
most of your opportunities, I guess.
Yes, for sure, you did.
Now you were quoted, I guess, in your bio. You talked about one of the coolest things about Kentucky was the fans and how much they love the Big Blue Nation. What were your thoughts about these last two home games, man? The LSU game and the Florida game. I mean,
I was actually at the Florida game. I mean, just I haven't seen it that wild there since some of my first 2 years there when Stoops came in and there was a bunch of big crowds. But that South Carolina game where we beat them 2014 with the Bud Dupree interception, that game was crazy. And, I mean, it had a lot of that environment. And the fans definitely affected. I mean, Florida had, I think it was like 8 or 9 something false starts and had definitely – you saw the quarterback going up to the O-line trying to have to adjust. Trust me. I played in there. We've played down in Florida in those games where we can't hear the quarterback. We can't hear the center right next to us. So it definitely affects what we're doing out there. So just that 12th man aspect, it is big. I know a lot of fans don't understand that, but it's just like you come out there and you're loud and you have the offense out, their offense out there, and they can't hear each other talk, make calls. They might have a missed assignment up front because they're going to the wrong guy because they couldn't communicate. I mean, the fans were awesome, and it should be a continued thing to where they continue to affect the other teams' offenses coming in for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And wasn't it to the point where, you know, normally get loud on third down, third and long, get loud, but it was first down, second down the whole time. The other team's offense had the ball, right? It was constant.
Yeah, it was constantly. I mean, those third and longs or fourth downs got really loud, but I mean, it was constant. Yeah, I mean, just go. It adds a whole new wrinkle to the game prep too, because I mean, you go in and you play all the loud music you want at practice, but it still doesn't simulate what's going on in the game. So, I mean, you have to have quarterbacks have hand signals. You have to have O-line have certain calls to where they do other things to what they normally make their calls, and when everything's quiet. So I mean, it was consistently loud, and that environment was something that Kentucky's been missing for a while, and it's glad to have out there for sure.
And you're talking about guards and centers struggling. When you're out there at tackle, how brutal is it in a hostile road environment where there's no chance you're going to hear what's going on? And how does that, what's that feeling like?
It is terrible because first of all, yeah, I mean, I've been in those shoes too before. It's just like, if you can't hear the cadence, you have no advantage over the defensive lineman. I mean, or the defensive end. So, I mean, at tackle, you're going off of, oh, I know the snap count. I have at least a head start. But if you don't have any advantage there, then you're going off the same time as the defensive line or defensive end. So, it makes it hard. So you're expected to go as fast backwards as someone's going forwards, which is the craziest thing about football, you know? And so the DN coming around the edge and he's getting the same jump as you, you better be ready. And you definitely saw that with some of the sacks and some of the pressure and the noise for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So here we are, man, 6-0 Kentucky, 6-0 Georgia. Second time in 4 years Kentucky's playing Georgia with a shot at first place in the East. You know, they came up here a few years ago and they kind of got control and pulled away quickly. But that 3-score point spread, I don't see them running away and blowing, making it a blowout again. How about you?
No, I do not see that at all. Georgia's played some great teams. I mean, they played Auburn, they played Arkansas, but I mean, we've played LSU, we played Florida, and those aren't any easy wins. No win in the SEC is easy. And just going in and making sure we're doing the right things and making sure that we control the game. Game or possessions are going to be a key to Saturday. Controlling the football, hitting them on deep play actions off the run game, and just grinding them out. Because if we can't run the ball, it's going to be a long night against Georgia. But they haven't seen a defense like ours either. So I mean, it's going to be a ground and pound game. And I wouldn't expect to see some big shots to Wandale on Saturday off play action.
Yeah. Now, you know, and at this point, everybody's banged up and got guys out. You know, Kentucky loses, you know, Bully McCall in the Florida game, and then Ox goes out against LSU.
Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, Georgia might have wanted to try to just pound it anyway, but do you think they're going to try to exploit that a little bit more? And how do you think these young guys are going to hold up if that's
what they're going to do? Well, the thing about now, different from back then when I played, is the depth. I mean, UK now has built the depth to where, I mean, one, twos, and threes are not, it's razor thin. Now, back then, it was probably one to two or two to three was a pretty big drop off as far as talent development. But now, I mean, the Nets guys in can definitely play and are not that far off from the first string guys, maybe even have more talent, just need more time to develop or things like that to where I think George is going to come in and try to run the ball anyways. I mean, with Bennett in at quarterback, I don't know if Daniels is going to play or not. They kind of hint around it, but I think they let Daniels heal another week and be full speed against Florida when they get back from their bye. But I think they're definitely going to come in and run the ball. I mean, every year since I've been there, Georgia's main thing, and when they had Nick Chubb, Sony Michelle, I mean, the list goes on and on. Every year Georgia has a top running back. So they're definitely definitely their MO is going to pound the ball. They're going to try to control the game just like we are. We're very similar on offense, and I think they're going to try to do the exact same thing as us, control the ball, wear down our defense, and then try to be efficient in the red zone.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, for those who do like to kind of play to take a look at the odds, there's not going to be enough possessions for it to get out of hand. Both teams trying to run the ball and run the clock, and it's just going to be an old school kind of, you know,
yes,
struggle is what it looks on paper anyway.
Yeah, for sure. It will be.
We mentioned, you know, Bully McCall, and we had Quentin Bohannon the year before that. They've got, you know, Jordan Davis is a big space eater down there for Georgia. You were playing on the outside, but when you're playing a big, hard to move guy like that, that's just massive. What do you do?
I mean, you gotta stay low, and those first two steps are important. I mean, if you're taking a bad first step, you're done against those guys inside. Tackles always have to play with more speed because, I mean, DNs aren't as mainly not as stout as the defensive tackles, so you have to play with a little more speed inside. You gotta play with straight power and almost kind of getting to maybe a foot or two on them and just moving them a foot or two and position them to where the Christian Rodriguez can get through the hole, like that'll be good enough against them. You know, it's just the room for error against teams like Georgia and their defensive line and their front seven is just getting enough holes for them to get through for sure.
Yeah. What was, thinking back over your time, you know, your most, wherever you want to go, your most memorable moment, most memorable game, most memorable pancake where you said that guy's going to hate to see that on film next week. What moment like that stands out, or moments from your time at Kentucky?
So my personal best game, I feel like, was in 2016 against Missouri. They had Charles Harris over there who ended up going first round, and I played a great game. And that was probably one of the games we ended up dominating. We rushed for like 300 and something yards that game. But that was probably my most dominant game where I felt like, okay, this was a good game for me to have a good test to see if I could play in the NFL and things like that. But my favorite game was beating Louisville in 2016 against Lamar Jackson.
We had a little bit of a technical difficulty while Cole was talking about beating Louisville, so we paused the recording because we can't miss good stories about the Cats beating Lamar in the Cards. So we pick right back up where we left off here in just a second. Here we go.
Yeah, like I said about that Louisville game, it was a big win. I mean, Lamar Jackson fumbling it and us coming out and really dominating that game, I think it turned the tide for us. And we ended up losing to Northwestern that year in a close game and the Music City Bowl. And I know, but yeah, it was a good time for, or no, that year we actually, we lost to Georgia Tech that year. Oh, yeah. The following year we lost to Northwestern in the Music City Bowl. But it was that Louisville game. I mean, it's just a staple of, like, one of my favorite games there for sure. And South Carolina's a close second in 2014.
Mm-hmm. Man, that Georgia Tech game, they ran that funky triple option and hard to get ready for that. But the Northwestern game where Benny got tossed, man, come on. I was there for that. We got to cover it in the box, and that was – That's just stupid, man.
Yeah, it was bad. And then I would still go for two. I still support Coach Stoops go for two. We got two there. But, yeah, that was a big game too.
Absolutely. Speaking of Coach Stoops, now, you know, Max Duffy's got a podcast out and had on the Pennant Deep, he had Stoops on there the other day. And he's always talking about funny stories and
little
behind-the-scenes stuff and stuff he says and does. What stands out to you? Is there a funny story or funny experience, or interaction between you and him, or just something with the team that you still chuckle about?
Oh, no. Everybody's go-to about him is his coffee. So, like they were talking about in there, he's always swirling around. And when he's mad at about a team meeting before practice, he's just sitting there pacing back and forth, swirling his coffee around in circles. And that's the go-to. But just in the locker room after games, I mean, I think you just get him a little out of his – like normal, like shell. He goes out and enjoys himself, and like after the game in the locker room, where he just starts dancing and has a good time in there, which you wouldn't normally see out of him, you know. But yeah, I love Coach Stoops when I was there, and he was great to all of us. He still takes care of us. He still checks in on us. He's a great guy.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And speaking of, you know, when he's hot, and you flash back to last year at Auburn, Chris Rodriguez is laying in the end zone, and they don't give us a touchdown. They got screwed out of that. Cummings is, if he's not in the end zone Saturday, he's at the one, and it's at the worst a catch at the one. How is that incomplete?
I don't know. I think he had it. I think he had possession in the end zone, and then gets knocked out, and then not calling targeting. I mean, it was just a whole mess. And I think definitely it shouldn't have ended that way, for sure. But Stoops definitely sticks up for his players, and sticks up for the right call out there. So when he gets mad, he's mad. So you can always tell when he's mad too. So that gets him out there. He should have been mad on that call too.
Were you surprised that he went for it on fourth down after that, or were you just like, they're just going to be aggressive and take it to LSU this tonight?
Yeah, it was that was a statement call. He doesn't step foot a lot in the offense. He lets the offensive coordinator do a lot of stuff, but on those kind of situations, the fans are with you, everybody's with you. It's a big momentum thing, and go for it, get the touchdown. That's how he is. You know, he's a go for it guy most of the time, and I'm glad he's like that for sure.
Yeah. Now take a second, man, and just. From the system in the past years to the new system this year with Liam Cohen coming in, new O-line coach, break it down for everybody. What's different about the Big Blue Wall last year to this year, you know, technically and detail-wise? What's changed in the O-line?
I mean, not a lot as far as like physicality, and like it's mainly the X's and O's for like pro style versus college, more college RPO and things like that. I mean, Liam Cohen's completely came in with an NFL set, runs the heavy under center. We've not been under center at all when I was there. And he's come in under center, and Will Levis has done a great job of controlling the under center and in shotgun. He's able to do it all. And I think hitting with play action, even now under center, is completely different than out of shotgun. I think under center, it draws a heavy run read, and they just expecting run, especially on play action. And just giving that look where he can fake it and hit those deep routes has been a big change over the years, as far as maybe in the years past, to where an RPO was just a simple, just like a fake to the running back in front real quick and get out of it. But with that under center, he goes back and he's getting 5-7 yards deep after the handoff, and he's letting it sling and can read the defenses from there. I just definitely think he's brought a more pro style in, which is good for our O-line and being physical, and our tight ends are physical too. They love getting in the mix, and I think that's the biggest difference between his system and previous systems, for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate you breaking it down, man. Sure do.
Yeah.
Real quick, I got to tell you about a sponsor in a minute too, but I got one little basketball question, because it's Big Blue Madness is tomorrow, and this is maybe the least hype Big Blue Madness of them all, because Kentucky's 6-0 and everybody's looking ahead to Saturday, Georgia. But you know, you're 6'6", you played basketball for Walton Verona as well. So what was the scouting report for Cole Mosier on the basketball court?
It wasn't much. I actually was not in the starting lineup. I actually rotated off the bench, because our coach was a run and gun offensive kind of guy, and I was definitely not a run and gun kind of player. I was get some rebounds, putbacks, and things like that. But I did win offensive MVP of a tournament my junior year, so hey, I'll take it, because one of our players went down. He was fine, but he went down for that game, and I ended up playing a lot. We slowed it down and ended up working. It was trying to just not let me get the ball in the post, man.
Hey. Hardware is hardware. You was the offensive MVP. That's, hey, you got the proof right there, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you about the sponsor of the podcast, La Terrain Watches. Look, we can all just look at our phone to tell the time, but sometimes it's cool to just still have a nice watch. La Terrain has got watches for men, women, accessories, different styles. You got the Red Crest. You got the new Atlas is coming out. You want to pre-order that, go to LaTerrain.com. You can also click on the chat, and the owner himself, Dave Maggio, will actually reply back to you if you have questions or concerns about it. LaTerrain.com. La Terrain. If you want to get yourself a gift, or you got somebody that you might want to get a watch for, go to the site and check it out. Find the style and type of watch you want, the band that you want. LaTerrain.com. We appreciate them sponsoring the podcast.
That's awesome. And
I know you got to run, so I appreciate you taking the time to hop on. All the best with the playoffs and with practice. Kick back and chill on fall break before the grind starts back, and enjoy the game Saturday too, man.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on here. I appreciate it. I love talking football anytime for sure.
Yeah, definitely, man. I appreciate you. I'd love to have you on again sometime to chop it up some more for sure, man.
Sounds good. I'll be here.
All right. Yo, look, this has been another episode of Believe in Kentucky. Go to Believe.com, like I mentioned at the beginning. Also, our buddies at ASEA Blue, Jason Markman, those guys, they put each episode of this podcast up on their website. So you can go there to ASEA Blue on their social media, and it'll be there as well. Appreciate you. Like I said, go subscribe, rate, review. Old school word of mouth. Tell your friends. Say, hey.
Well, for sure.
Kentucky podcast. It's been presented by Bet Online, and we'll see everybody next week. Y'all take care and be safe.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.